This is Tech Talk with your host, Tom DiOria. Tom will spend the next hour making your life with technology a little easier with explanations of the different aspects of today's technology and how it can benefit your home, small office, or enterprise. Now here's your host, Tom DiOria.
Welcome to IMI's Tech Talk, and it's the first Sunday of August. Can you believe it's August already? It's the 7th of August, 2011. We're on at 6 p.m. in New York listening area and 3 p.m. in Arizona. But we happen to be in our Tennessee offices today, so it's 5 p.m. in Tennessee, 6 p.m. in New York, and 3 p.m. in Arizona. So how about that? We're going to be having a very interesting topic today, so I think you should get out your pads and take some notes or your iPads. We're going to be discussing small business IT recovery and prevention with our guest, Nick Webb. I'm Tom DiOria. I'm the CEO of Information Methods Incorporated. And together with our weekly guests, our show will help our listeners, whether a business or home technology user, make better use of all aspects of business or home technology. And this show, I think, is going to help both people at home and small businesses, just in case you're a first-time listener. In our first segment, Tech Talk provides you with a review of last week's most significant events in technology. We start with our increased coverage of New York's technology scene, and we follow this with our industry-wide report, which could contain information on conferences, announcements by vendors, new releases of software equipment, or new contract opportunities. One of our guests followed us for many aspects of business and industry. And if you wish us to consider a topic for a future show, you can email your suggestions to TechTalk, that's T-E-C-H-T-A-L-K, at imi-us.com. We'll get you on pretty quickly. Anytime after our show introduction, please give us a call or send an email message with questions on today's topic or anything else we might be able to help you with. To call in, you can dial 277-KFNX, that's 277-5369. And if you're outside the 602 listing area, call us toll-free at 1-866-536-1100. You can use that email address I just gave you, techtalk@imi-us.com. We monitor that throughout the show, and we'll try and get your questions on today's show. And if not, we'll give you an answer during the week and maybe put it on next week's show. We're also being simulcast on the web, so if you can't get to your radio but you want to listen to us live, go to KFNX's website, which is 1100KFNX.com. And if you want to listen to a previous show or you missed a show, you want to download a show, you can go to our website, which is imi-us.com. In the upper right-hand corner is a Tech Talk button. Click on that. Click on the archive button. All the shows are there. You can listen to them, download them, or share them with your friends. So please call in anytime during the show, and we'll try and get you on as quickly as possible. First segment, our week in review, to increase coverage of technology events in New York City and around the world. We've got a lot to tell you today. First, we wanted to tell you that the Social Security Administration has decided they're not mailing statements anymore. That's to help them save money. They plan to make the statements about future benefits available online, possibly by the end of the year. So what you need to do is use your most recent paper statement for a general idea of where you stand. There usually is a little difference between one year statement and the next. For more information, go to ssa.gov and use the retirement estimator to get an estimate of your retirement income based on your web history. Let's see here. From bottom line, personal, some very useful websites, dangerous products, new website from the Consumer Product Safety Commission, reports on potentially harmful cookware, lawn equipment, toys, and more. Go to safer, S-A-F-E-R, products.gov. Risky Roads heat map shows dangerous locations where fatal accidents have occurred. Go to riskyroads.org. Cheaper car rentals, top-rated comparison booking site, includes all major U.S. rental companies, vroomvroomvroom.com. That's V-R-O-O-M, repeated 3 times.com. Happier living. Free information, exercises, and worksheets help improve assertiveness, build self-esteem, overcome procrastination. You can go to cci.health.wa.gov.au and click on resources. Finally, for summer reading, get suggestions for books you may enjoy by entering your favorite titles and authors. Go to whatshouldireadnext.com. Finally, I want to tell you that they have an article. This is in the June issue, June 15th issue. Are cyber bandits lurking in your cell phone, digital camera, and GPS? And we're going to do a show on this, but you may want to get a head start in reading about all the potential problems that you could be having. Okay, We have here that New York City's website reinvented by the city's first hackathon. About 75 developers from across the United States accepted New York City Chief Digital Officer Rachel Stern's invitation to spend 36 hours of last weekend envisioning a better NYC.gov. That's New York City's website. Five of the 14 teams whose designs were chosen by judges for various honors will be thanked personally by New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg in meetings this week. Really, the goal was to bridge the worlds of government and technology and having a dialogue, Stern said. This really shows what people want. So what do people want? Most of the winning designs' homepages focus on search, mirroring Bing and Google. Stern saw Stack Overflow-like forums that encourage users to help each other. In other words, these are trends you'd expect from coders working with APIs from Google and Bitly, Foursquare, and other popular web services. New York City also introduced two new APIs at the event, one that works with 311, another that constantly updates apps that use the city's more than 400 open data sets with the latest changes. So that's pretty interesting. Tune into Bloomberg TV this September for a new documentary that puts the spotlight on startup incubator TechStars. In six-part series, TechStars appears to be structured like a reality TV show with 10 entrepreneurs vying for a $5 million prize from angel investors. However, TechStars co-founder David Cohn said in a blog post that the organization chose to work with Bloomberg specifically because they would present the program in an accurate light without any of the false drama associated with most reality TV. The organization is a three-month startup boot camp that provides up to $18,000 in seed funding in exchange for 6% equity stake in the company. That's pretty high. For the 10 entrepreneurs selected each quarter. During the program, participants develop their ideas under the mentorship of industry vets and investors, and at the end of the program, pitch their ideas to angel investors and venture capitalists. New Android malware records your phone calls. That's what we were alluding to in that bottom line personal. Security researchers at CA Security have identified new malware that surreptitiously records conversations on Android phones, the company wrote on its official blog. The new threat to devices running Google's Android mobile operating system is an advance on earlier Android Trojans examined by CA Security that unleash payloads which log incoming and outgoing call details and durations in a text file. A series of figures representing stages of attack by the unnamed Trojan, CA Security demonstrates how malware is disguised as a friendly app for download, and once installed by an unsuspecting user, it drops a configuration file that contains key information about the remote server and the parameters. This is Tom DiOrio. We're live on IMI's Tech Talk on KFNX AM 1100. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to IMI's Tech Talk on KFNX AM 1100. I'm Tom DiOrio. It's Sunday, August 7th, 2011. We're doing our show from Tennessee. Our New York offices is our usual spot, but we're down in our Tennessee Nashville office doing some business down here. And as I mentioned to you before the break, we're going to be talking to you today about small business IT disaster recovery and prevention. Our guest is Nick Webb, and he is the founder of Seattle, Washington-based Redwire Services, LLC, and has made a career of designing solutions that improve data availability and enable disaster recovery. Nick brings more than 10 years of experience planning, implementing, and maintaining best practice solutions for systems managed for a wide range of organizations. His firm, Redwire Services, specializes in preparing small businesses to survive technological disasters, and we all have those at one time or another, while also helping unprepared organizations recover their data and systems so they can return to operation. Nick, I bet you're very busy doing all of those things for companies that may think they're prepared but aren't. Appreciate you being on the show today.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Tom.
Let's start at the very beginning. Maybe you can tell our listeners who have no clue, what is an IT disaster recovery plan?
Sure. Well, an IT disaster recovery plan is essentially how to get your systems back up and running should there be any kind of disaster. And that could be anything from just a simple system crash or a power outage all the way up to and including a natural disaster. And even more broad, just a, you know, some companies have also have a regular disaster recovery plan, which is wider in scope and covers things, you know, like what do we do with our people if there's an earthquake or a flood or something like that? How do we address those concerns and get back to business or disrupt business as little as possible?
I think that one of the things that I believe a lot of companies don't take into account, and we can get on that later in the program, is I think people might create a really good and effective disaster recovery plan, but then forget about the people who are obviously a significant factor in carrying it out. But let's start a little bit more about why you feel a small business, and to that extent, you know, a single person company, which would then, you know, flow over to just somebody at home that has a lot of important data. Why does a small business need to bother with this? I mean, they're small, you know, it'll take time away from doing their regular business stuff. Can you tell us why you feel that that's important and if that's something that you've been spending your time helping small businesses do?
Yes. I mean, we generally work with businesses who are, say, you know, 10 employees or more. However, I think it's really important for anyone, including, you know, the single entrepreneur or single person business, to at least think about it. And one of the amazing things that happens as you go through the process and you think about, okay, you know, what are the top three, you know, most important business functions, and, you know, how does IT support that, and how can we keep those systems up or recover them quickly after a disaster happens, you come to find, you know, other weaknesses in the business, right? You find other problems that are looming there. For even the solo person to keep that top of mind, you'll maybe vary your business process in a different way. You know, instead of storing your document only on your PC, maybe you will, you know, save that to a cloud service so that if your PC dies or, you know, your partner can't get to your small office, they still have access to that information. And I think the planning process brings out some of those issues.
Do you find that this is the first time a company is really taking a good look at their business processes, whether small or large? We found that that's really a factor in developing a disaster recovery plan. Many people don't know how their companies actually do business.
Right. That can definitely be a problem. You know, mostly working with small businesses, so there's kind of a good communication path usually. However, definitely in larger companies, you see that, and you see that, you know, getting that business process down on paper, again, you know, brings to light, hey, you know, why are we doing a three-step process when really, you know, given today's resources, we could cut that down to just one or two steps.
Nick, what do you find is the major challenge to developing an IT disaster recovery plan in a small business?
Well, really, for me, I think the biggest challenge I see out there is just getting started. And one of the main problems with that is that people are always looking for, oh my gosh, you know, I've got a company with 10 employees, you know, maybe it's a manufacturing business. Why do I need to worry about the place burning down? If the place burns down, we're out of business, you know, or if there's a major earthquake, our customers aren't going to be knocking at our door anyway, so why do we need to worry about it? And the reality is that there's a lot of smaller things that can happen. You know, computer crashes happen, equipment fails, and if you don't have a plan to kind of address those problems, they can really hurt, maybe even more so than some of the other disasters that you would normally think of. The biggest thing is to get started. You know, pick a few things that are really important to your business, work on those, get them down, get a recovery plan for those put together, and then expand so that you don't get overwhelmed looking at the 30,000-foot view of an earthquake or a flood or another natural disaster.
Now, is most of this disaster recovery that you deal with regarding the IT side of the business, or do you take into account, you know, just some of the other business processes as well that interface with IT?
It's mainly focused on IT systems. However, obviously today that really brings out some other business processes that utilize IT, and that's, you know, kind of how some decisions are made as to what is, you know, what's the most important application, the second and third and so on, and how much, you know, how much pain can we live with? You know, can our applications be down for 24 hours, 48 hours? And then, you know, of course, there's a cost, right? That the cost goes up as the time window goes down.
Can you do this modularly, since it's a cost and time factor? When you're talking to a small business, can you lay out the whole plan and then say you can do this in this amount of time for this amount of dollars, and then, you know, get used to that? And then when you have a little bit more, then this will give you the basics. And then, you know, when you have some more money or some more time, we can go to stage two. Is that plausible, or do you have to do it all at once?
No, I think that's a great option. You know, usually we're looking at it from an application perspective. So if, you know, again, if you have those top one or two, three applications that you really depend on, you know, let's focus on those. We'll get a plan to keep them available or to recover them quickly, and then kind of fill in some of the other basics of a plan and get that kind of started quickly. And I think that's a good approach for small business in general, just to get, you know, you want to get some plan out there quickly. Otherwise, you know, the monstrous plan may never get done.
How big of an issue is this in your travels? Are most small businesses without a disaster recovery plan, or do you find that there's some percentage that have them at some point? I ask because many of the small businesses that I've spoken to, first of all, don't understand really what it is and really haven't thought about implementing one.
Right. For the most part, I would say people aren't thinking about it. So it's kind of a new thing that they haven't thought about before. Of course, unless they've had some kind of disaster, which could be, you know, small things. You know, there's a couple of companies I've worked with around here on some of the islands in Washington State. They have a lot of power issues, right? So sometimes those kind of issues bring to light the need for planning. And I actually am starting to run into some smaller engineering firms and that kind of thing that, again, they've kind of been burned in the past. And so they at least have some plan. They at least have, you know, some decent backups in place, and they have, you know, some rudimentary way to recover. But what you don't always see is you don't see a lot of testing and you don't see the complete plan. So it's kind of a coin toss as to whether it will work efficiently when there actually is a disaster.
Nick, when you go into a place that, you know, has asked for your help, what's the biggest obstacle you run into?
It's getting that buy-in from management that this is a big need for them, and kind of getting the project off the ground. You know, especially when you're working with some IT managers at smaller companies, you know, they've got a lot of things on their plate to deal with. They're, you know, trying to keep email up. They're trying to keep their users happy. And disaster recovery, unfortunately, is kind of the last thing that they're thinking about until something hits, right?
Yeah, I hear you. This is Tom DiOrio. We're talking to Nick Webb about small business IT disaster recovery. Nick is the founder of Seattle, Washington-based Red Wire Services, LLC. I'm Tom DiOrio. It's Sunday, August 7th, 2011. And we're on IMI's Tech Talk on KFNX AM 1100 from our Nashville offices. We're going to be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to IMI's Tech Talk on KFNX AM 1100. I'm Tom DiOrio. It's Sunday, August 7th, 2011. And we're talking about small business IT disaster recovery and prevention with our guest, Nick Webb. And we're down here in Tennessee. It's a little hotter than New York, but not quite as hot as Phoenix. And Nick is the founder of Seattle, Washington-based Redwire Services, LLC. And before I get yelled at by my producer, Nick, can you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you if they want to follow up?
Absolutely, Tom. They can call me at... They can call the main office number at 206-829-8621, or they can visit us at redwireservices.com.
Great. Okay, so before the break, we were talking about some challenges that you see when you go into small businesses. What other tips can you make to small businesses to make this process, I'm not sure if easier is the right word, but more tolerable? I mean, I understand that in a small IT shop, people are doing 14 different jobs and, you know, are stressed for time and stuff. Are there ideas that you can give people out there that can make the process easier? And is there something that you recommend, homework or something that they should do before you even come in and start talking to them?
Absolutely. Let me start with what you said last and then work backwards. As far as homework, you know, we definitely we have a worksheet that our customers fill out that kind of answers a lot of the questions as to what's important to them and how quickly they feel they need to be recovered should an event happen. And there's, you know, it's pretty long. You know, it's 10 pages of questions, and most customers don't fill it all out, but it definitely gets us a good starting point to talk about. As far as some other tips, you know, it's more of the same what we talked about before. If you can kind of control scope and not try to do everything all at once, that really helps. One other thing to think of when we're thinking of a holistic approach and people are, you know, oh, disaster recovery, you know, that's a natural disaster that we need to be prepared for. Well, there's a stat here, and I wish I wrote down who said it when, but I think it was in 2009. One survey found that half of the folks in small businesses that had disaster recovery plans used some part of it. So that kind of gives us some hope that, you know, by going through this exercise and building this grandiose plan, even if that the big one doesn't come, we'll still get some value out of that document, right? Because people are seeing, oh, we had a snow day and we needed to, contact all our employees or modify our process in some way. And the plan kind of helps them with that as well.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, it doesn't have to be the catastrophic disaster where this would come into play. Plus, it makes you, I guess, more thoughtful about, you know, where you should be looking and what processes need a plan. And it's one of the things that I'm sure you instill in your clients, although I find it hard with some of the people that we deal with. This isn't a one-shot deal. You can come in and do an IT disaster recovery plan. It's comprehensive for a small business, but it's a living document, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it gets out of date very quickly. You know, you upgrade an application or two here and there, you upgrade some hardware, and all of a sudden the whole plan doesn't work. You know, IT in general is very complex, and you start changing out pieces. What you thought would work before isn't going to work anymore. So you definitely need to have that component of testing the plan at least once a year, full scale, to make sure that it's going to work when you need it.
Is that something that once you're done, the client does on their own, or is that something that they should have an expert like yourself come in and help them go through it?
It varies. For most of our clients, we do the whole deal, and we maintain the document throughout its life cycle, and we come on site and do the failover testing, which I think is helpful because sometimes that kind of highlights the disconnect there. You know, since we're a third party coming in, we were, you know, not aware of some changes that may have happened, which is a real true test of the plan, right? They should, yep. And that gets them thinking, oh, you know, if I upgrade this system or I remove something, we need to let Redwire know so that our plan can be updated to match.
Now, do you also, when you're going through this, I guess not only for the first time, but as you do it yearly, if that's what your clients contract with, find flaws is too heavy a word, but some kind of a flaw in their business process where they're using IT where you can point out to them maybe not cost savings but efficiencies? Is that something that falls out of this process?
I think it does. I wouldn't say that it's always easy to highlight that, but it certainly can raise red flags and where there's some weakness in their business process or where they're doing something more expensively than they need to, especially as we look at, you know, how can we make this system more highly available, for example. Well, maybe through that process, we'll see, you know, man, we're spending way too much on this and we can get this newer solution for cheaper.
Do you find businesses have developed some kind of a disaster recovery plan that may not be, you know, really adequate or hit all the right points? Do you come into companies that think they have something that's good, and when you do an assessment, you see that, in fact, there are areas for improvement, or you just go into places where they have nothing?
We do both. It can be challenging to kind of go into the business that, you know, thinks they're already covered, and so don't try too hard to sell to those folks. But if they're interested in a second opinion, that's always helpful. And I have to say, you know, every time that I came into a business that had some kind of plan, there's always something you find, right? You know, we're on the IT side of things, so often we'll find that, you know, hey, they're backing up their data, which is great. However, you know, maybe they often have no plan for, you know, how they're going to acquire more hardware or how they can actually recover their applications. It's all, they just have the data. And who knows, you know, maybe one person in the office actually knows how to get at that data if it were ever needed. So those things often come out.
I noticed when we went to look at your website that you have a multi-stage process for protecting data. Could you maybe highlight some of the pieces that go into that? And also, how long does this all take? Is this a two-week process, a two-month process, a two-year process?
You know, usually it's kind of in the 2 to 3 month range to get going for smaller businesses. And sure, I mean, we can step through some of the official things we do. You know, the first thing is to come out and kind of go through a needs assessment with the company. And part of that is kind of the homework assignment that we give them to get a little bit better feel kind of for what their goals are and what they need. Then after that, you know, that probably takes 2 to 6 weeks of time, and then we kind of come up with a proposal and a plan of how we're gonna address that, both in a written plan and in infrastructure changes. You know, that takes another month and a half, and then maintenance, like we talked about before, which really is kind of the key, is making sure that when there's changes, the plan gets updated, and making sure that their backups really, really do work. And unfortunately, there's not really a silver bullet to that. You know, when we talk about backups and recovery, you know, oftentimes people look at their backup application and it says, you know, it's green. There's a green check mark. It backed up my server. I'm good. Certain things can change, and really the only way to test it is to actually do the recovery, you know, into a test environment or something like that to make sure that it's going to work when you need it.
We're talking to Nick Webb about small business IT disaster recovery. When we come back from the break, I want to get a little bit into what technologies are out there to help our listeners actually do this. I'm Tom DiOria. It's IMI's Tech Talk on KFNX AM 1100, broadcasting out of our Tennessee office. Nick is the founder of Seattle, Washington-based Redwire Services. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to IMI Tech Talk on KFNX AM 1100. I'm Tom DiOria. It's the 7th of August, 2011. We're talking to Nick Webb about small business IT disaster recovery and prevention, and we'll get into prevention a little bit. But as I mentioned before the break, I want to ask Nick about what he feels are some of the recent technology trends that improve access to disaster recovery resources. I guess for small businesses, but I guess it could also be for, you know, home users as well. So what are those technology trends?
You know, we hear about a lot about the cloud today, right, which is really just paying somebody else for time on somebody else's system that they manage. And so that really does help small businesses and can help home users as well, because instead of having to go out and buy, you know, a $5,000 or $10,000 server and pay a few hundred dollars a month to have that hosted somewhere just to get disaster recovery sites, they can just pay for that kind of piecemeal by the hour if it's ever needed. And that can really reduce costs. I mean, there's some great technologies out there in the cloud that small businesses can get started maybe for even $10 or $20 a month for file stuff, up to, you know, maybe $50 or $100 to have a full server available on demand, which is much cheaper than it used to be in the past.
Why wouldn't that be the solution for every small business? It sounds like it's inexpensive. I don't have to worry about anything. Somebody else is worrying about it. There have to be some challenges.
Absolutely. I mean, for most small businesses, it is a great option for when a disaster happens. They can switch over to that kind of service. It really depends on how much data the business has. You know, if you're a photographer or a video producing business, that gets really challenging. You know, today's internet connections aren't quite fast enough for that, at least in the small business space. And, you know, a lot of people are cautious about going there, whether valid or not. from a technical perspective, you know, business users can be very hesitant to move all their day-to-day services to the cloud, which would be another option. And very often, you know, I see some smaller clients with, you know, say an Exchange server in-house, which can be pretty expensive. And there's a lot of really great cloud options they can move to, which, you know, releases them from worrying about that in their disaster recovery plan.
I guess my question here is, if I decide to keep this in-house or I have to keep it in-house, this is going to cost me a lot of money. Do I have to buy a lot of hardware and software to have an adequate or an essential plan?
It can. It depends on what you need. You know, that definitely can be a big problem with small businesses. They obviously are working with small budgets. There's some kind of more manual things you can do. You can ship things around versus using a cloud, which I think is still the most promising technologies out there for smaller businesses. You know, instead of backing up to the cloud, which is maybe $1 a gigabyte for some high quality storage, you know, you can go down to Staples and buy a drive for $100 and take it home with you at night, which at least getting it that far off site, you know, eliminates 99% of problems.
Now, you have something, you being Redwire Services, that I found intriguing that may be, and I'm not exactly sure what it is, so you could help us here, that may bridge that gap of, on one side, spending a lot of money to buy stuff to have an adequate plan, and on the other hand, going into the cloud. You have something called an essential data protection plan. What's that?
That's essentially just a data backup plan. So when we go back to what we were talking about earlier, that's, you know, backing up your critical business data, all your contacts, your contracts, any important business documents, all that's backed up to a cloud service that we manage, and we you know, go through testing that and making sure that it will recover when you need it. And there's also, you know, guarantees around how quickly you will get it back. You know, that's kind of the problem with some of the other online services out there, is that they give you the tools to back up everything online, but they don't really promise you a timely recovery, which can be really important. But that plan, what that plan doesn't include is it doesn't include the application side. And the downside to that is if you were to have a problem and you went through a recovery process, you would need to, you know, manually get new servers, install the new applications, and then perform the data recovery and import, which can be an expensive and time-consuming process, but it's certainly a lot better than nothing, because that core business data you can't really recreate, right? You can't really go out and ask all your salespeople, hey, what are the, you know, what are all our contacts in our CRM and who are we supposed to follow up with today? It just doesn't work. So that's definitely the most important thing. And if you do nothing else, you know, you need to get that data backed up and backed up offsite.
Okay. And how far offsite is offsite?
We kind of touched on a little bit before. You know, my feeling is, and Tom, you might have an opinion on this as well, you know, for small businesses, you know, if ideally it would be in the cloud somewhere, or, you know, on a outside of the region, that's ideal. However, you know, just getting it outside of your primary business office, even if you live five blocks away, that still protects you from 99% of problems. You know, if there's a water main leak or a fire in your building, at least that data is safe from that kind of situation.
My not-so-funny story, after 9/11, some small company had meticulously backed up, one person was responsible for backing up all the company's data. And he lived, 50 to 100 miles out of New York City. So he used to take the disks home with him every night to make them safe. Unfortunately, he would bring them back every day. So there wasn't some staggered, like, you know, he'd have one set at home, one set being transported. So when, you know, the 9/11 disaster occurred, the attacks occurred, the disks were in the office. When the office went, the disks went, they went to backup. So there are a lot of considerations that somebody like you and your organization can help people anticipate, because you're the experts and you've done this more than once. Can you tell us a couple of, we've got a few minutes left here, maybe you can give us some stories about people you've helped or backups that you've had to implement or come in contact with?
Sure. Well, a couple that spring to mind. One company was a small engineering shop, you know, about 20 folks. And again, you know, they, and I see this a lot in kind of some technical companies, they kind of take care of IT themselves, and they had a backup system that, you know, their engineer who knew the most about computers set up. And luckily, they backed up all their data just locally, but they didn't have any of their applications or any of their servers backed up, and they lost their storage unit. So we had to come in and rebuild the entire rebuild the entire system from scratch, which took, you know, it probably took 2 or 3 weeks to be completely up and running full speed, and it took, you know, a good 3 or 4 days before, you know, kind of normal everyday business operations could resume. And those are some of the problems that you can find through doing the disaster recovery plan, that you will avoid those kind of situations.
Nick, we really appreciate your taking the time to be with us today. I think you've given our listeners a lot to think about. Can you give us your contact information again, so this way they can follow up if they'd like to pursue this?
Sure. You can contact me at area code 206-829-8621. Visit our website at redwireservices.com, and you can email me at nickw@redwireservices.com.
Nick, thanks again. We really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Next week, we're again going to be live. We'll be back in New York with our Week in Review. And I want to thank Terry GRIMI's president, Dave Brandon, and Jose Batista for our Week in Review. Taylor Redden's our producer. And Matt Campagni's our executive producer. And I want to thank him for hosting us in our Nashville offices. And especially our production department, Robert Bombach, keeps us all honest and allows us to go out over the airwaves. Thanks again for listening, and please don't forget to tune into Tech Talk next week at 6 p.m. in New York on KFNX AM 1100. Remember to send us your suggestions for future shows or ask us questions by sending an email to techtalk@imi-us.com. Have a great week, and thanks again for listening.